edition of Word Journey, where we learn to embark on our life pursuits based on the Word of God. Glad to have you join us. How has been your day? How was your week? How was your 2022? Welcome to a brand new year. Happy 2023. On Word Journey, our approach is that we take topical issues and search the scriptures to understand how to approach them according to the Word of God. The idea is that we understand that as Christians, the Word of God is the standard for our lifestyle. It's where we draw inspiration or direction for how we live our lives. Today on Word Journey, we have a very interesting topic that will be very useful to you as we are starting a new year. If you stick with me, I'm going to introduce the topic after this short break. My name is Ifeanyi Chukwu Dinwoke.
Our faith in Christ did not just reconcile us to God. It ushered us into the Christ kingdom where the Bible viewpoint is supreme. A genuine member of the kingdom is the one whose lifestyle is guided by Bible principles. On what journey? We search the scriptures to learn the mind of God so that we may conform our lifestyle to it. Welcome to What Journey. I am your brother in Christ, Venerable Ihe Chukwu Ogbonna.
Welcome back to World Journey. It's the beginning of 2023 already. Typically at the beginning of a new year, a new marriage, a new career, or a new any adventure, people start the year with excitement and great expectations. I mean, most of us pass the night or spend the night the last day of 2022 to the first day of 2023 in church, and the idea is to start the year with God, to hand the year over to God and make sure you have a successful year. Unfortunately for many people, such excitement are often short-lived, and then the excess expectations cut short. That is, June, August, you start wondering, when the pastor says this year is my year, it's really my year. Now, today on Word Journey, we want to learn how to start any season of our life, not just new year. It could be marriage, it could be career, it could be child parenting, it could be school, with God. My guest on this week's edition of Word Journey is Venerable Ihe Chukwu Ogbonna, who is an Archdeacon of the Anglican Communion, serving in the Diocese of Nike. Venerable, thank you very much for joining me on Word Journey, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, and God bless you.
I want us to start from the beginning. I believe, just like many people have expounded, just like the Tower of Babel story tells us, that God gave human beings enormous capacity to do anything they set their mind to do, as long as they're working in unity. If God gave human beings this amount of power, why do we still have to start talking about starting the year with God, going for crossover nights, going for doing 21 days prayers? Why don't we start the year and the year will be rolling? Because God has given us the power inside us as human beings.
Thank you. The most important thing is that for anything any Christian wants to do in life, God must be placed first. For without Him, we can do nothing. He also said, commit your ways into my hands. So, starting anything, starting life, anything on planet Earth as a Christian begins with God. That God has blessed us with all the potentials and capacity, has not stopped us from committing our ways into His hand, committing our ventures, committing our marriages, committing our academics, businesses into His hands. Making Him number one in all these things is wonderful and good.
I've heard people who say that it's not really necessary, it's not compulsory, because there are people who don't believe in God. They are not Christians. They still buy car at the end of the year. They get married at the end of the year. They make more money from their business at the end of the year. They don't pray to God. So for that reason, they wonder, even without praying to God, maybe I'll still be able to get what I want or succeed in the year.
No, the program of an unbeliever is quite different from the program of a believer. We are talking from Christian point of view.
Okay.
Any Christian that is living on planet Earth will not think that way. That is not the thinking of a Christian. If the owner of the world, God, said, "You can do nothing except by me," then there is always the need of inviting him, committing whatever you are doing into his hand. So we won't think from the carnal aspect of it, a carnal mind. A carnal mind has no need of God. He lives by chance. If what he does prospers, he says he is intelligent, he is my strength. For a Christian who knew that God gives power to make wealth, according to the scriptures, "I give you power to make wealth," then God must always be invited into whatever you are doing. So that's a Christian. Let's take, for instance, just a very simple thing. A man in the Bible, the first miracle, turning water into wine. In the course of his marriage, the Bible recorded that the mother of Jesus was invited, and he also was invited with the disciples. Beginning of a marriage, Jesus was invited to that marriage. And that is what every Christian does. At the beginning of an event, do you extend an invitation? While you are reading, you are asking God for wisdom. You got admission, you ask God, "God, thank you for the admission. I am going to the university. Go with me." That is committing your ways into the hand of God. You have met God first. You acknowledge that you are not carrying him by hand. You have acknowledged the supremacy of God in every facet of life. That is what it means to start a year with God. So it doesn't matter. You can go for crossover night. You can do 21 days, 40 days prayer. But at the end of that prayer, what happens the next day? If God is not in control, you don't recognize his supremacy, and you take ventures, you will fail.
Is it possible for someone to embark on 21 days to praying and fasting or all those early year prayers within church without recognizing the supremacy of Christ?
The problem of Christianity is that I have noticed that over 80% of people in church practice religion and not Christianity. Why am I saying this? At the beginning of the year, there is nothing bad about cross overnight, nothing bad about 21 days. But because it has become a norm, they fulfill all righteousness without knowing the import of what they are doing. People are in church jumping up, declarations are made. They are not taking to heart what they are doing. Did you attend? We were there. It was great. What was great? I don't know. But you did 21 days. You fulfill all righteousness. And they've thought that if you do 21 days, then everything will work for you. But it's not true. So let's make the point very clear. Those activities are wonderful activities, but motives matter. If I am going for 21 days, and the only thing at the back of my mind is after these 21 days, I should make 10 million naira. By August, there's no 10 million naira. I'll start complaining. The question is, what did I do after the 21 days prayer? Did I go back to my house and sit down and be looking at the ceiling? Will the money fall from heaven? Did I labor for that money? Did I go into any business venture, bearing in mind that God will bless that business and I will make money? Or do I just sit down and wallow in ignorance, trusting that I have gone to pray? God is not a magician. He blesses what you do. That is sowing and reaping. What did you sow after that prayer? You have a business. You don't care about that, your business. In the morning, you are sleeping. You won't go to the office to run your business. You are in business. You are a contractor. You won't go to see contract, believing that God will grant you contract that you will benefit from. If that man invited Jesus for a wedding and got home and sit down without planning for the wedding, he wouldn't have any wedding. He continued planning for the food, for the drink, for the chairs, for the visitors. So Jesus came into an already planned program, and his miracle manifested. The man didn't sit down. You must invite him at the beginning of the year to go with you. And then, what do you do that he wants him to bless? He will appear to look at you doing what you are supposed to do to bless you.
Okay, from what you say now, there's nothing wrong with 21 days prayer and fasting.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with 40 days prayer and fasting. What's wrong is, what is the motive? You talked about motive.
Yes.
What's the correct mindset I should have if I'm going for such prayers?
You see, when I talk about motive, serving God is not a matter of what we'll get from Him. We serve Him because He's God. We worship Him because He's God. If at the end and during the lifetime, God blesses you, He blesses you. It is not for what we will gain on planet Earth that matters. We are doing these things for eternity, the kingdom of God. Not here on planet Earth. These things are jara, additional. First seek ye the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and every other thing shall be added. I go for 21 days prayer, asking God that I should seek Him in truth and in spirit. I seek the righteousness of God. The blessings of God is an addendum, and He decides who to bless and who not to bless. I might be looking for 1 naira and God blesses me with 20 naira. I might be looking for 30 naira and He blesses me with 5 naira. He decides and knows what suits each and every one of us. So that's why I say the right motive, that Father, I acknowledge that I cannot operate in the new year without You. And it is not a one-off prayer that you go at 31st night, pray and go and sit down. It is a continuous prayer every morning. Father, I commit my going out today into Your hands. This my business, go with me. This my academics, go with me. In every facet of life, wherever I found myself, I need Your grace and favor. So you have acknowledged Him. That acknowledgement do not stop you from working. You won't say, God, I acknowledge You in my academics this year. Come and take preeminence. And you refuse to read your book. You will fail the exam. So a student that committed his academics into the hand of God at the first instance must go to a lecture room, must listen to the lecturers, must take quiz, take exam, and then God will bless his handwork. His handwork here is his academics. But if you ask God to bless you with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, you refuse to read the same book, from where God will bless you? From where will He bless you? You go into the exam hall and you fail, and you will not blame God. What is your driving force? Am I going for this thing? I'm waiting the next day. Money will start flowing, because the problem we have that money drives everything Christian does these days. They measure their success on the financial gain, not the spiritual gain. And God basically is interested in our spiritual gain, spiritual upliftment, not on financial breakthrough. These ones are added to this. First seek ye the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All other things shall be added to you.
Okay, I just want to get something clear. Earlier you talked about that, what, in fact, you're repeating it now, that my goal should be seek the first the kingdom of God and all other things will be added to me. So my question is this. If I'm a single girl, 35, not married, are you saying that when I go for my New Year prayer, 21 days praying and fasting, for example, instead of asking God for husband, I should now be praying that, God, please, that I'm lazy, remove laziness. God, I lie too much. Are you saying that would be a worthy desire, a worthy prayer? What should be my focus?
Asking God for your need is not a crime.
Okay.
During the crossover night or anything, or at the beginning of the year, 21 days prayer, and you are asked to pray to God and make your request known, that a young lady prays, Father, I need to be married this year. It's not a crime. He's not asking for too much. He's of age. She needed a man in her life. She can pray to God and ask God to bless her with a man as a husband. It's not a bad prayer. But what I'm saying in effect is, before this time, we have thanked God for life, and at the back of your mind is to please God. Let me tell you, people will live on planet Earth and married and go to hell. And people will live on planet Earth unmarried and go to heaven. Marriage is not a criteria of going to heaven. And it's not a yardstick for measuring success, either a man or a woman in the Christendom.
Some will say that if I really serve God since in truth and in spirit, he should give me a husband.
That's why I said it is not a yardstick. That is man's thinking. That is religion. It is not Christianity. A way of life. What Jesus taught is that we should seek him and the righteousness. This other thing shall be added. If it's not added, if you go to a market and you bought something and that person said, I don't have extra to give you a jar, will you kill the person?
So in essence, the whole purpose of a Christian living is not gathering money, getting married, but serving God.
Yes. In truth and in spirit, every other thing concerning your life is what God decides and determines to do for you. He decides, not you. Remember, let me read a place in the Bible. Say, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. That is the Bible. The interest of God is that you remain in him. I just want to bring that. He is the person that decides. He determines who you are and what you are and what becomes of you. If you live that kind of life in total submission, in total surrender to the will of God, allow him now.
I'm sure he will remember.
He never forgets. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. God has never abandoned those who serve him. But the point is that we have so much in this life thought that life ends here. The master is planning far way beyond what we see. His sole aim is to bring you to his eternal kingdom. If he blesses you here on planet earth with wealth, to God be the glory. If he says no, let me give you a very simple illustration. Paul in the Bible prayed that God will heal him of a certain sickness. God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. For in this, your weakness, you are made strong. If God can say, no, Paul, I won't heal you. The same man that goes about healing and raising the dead, God refused to heal him. God, in his infinite wisdom, knew that healing is not what is important. And then, my grace is sufficient for you. So in everything, God did not answer you. Or things you expect, your expectations do not come as you dream about it. God have a different expectation and a different plan for you. What we have problem in Christianity is comparison. What we have problem in Christianity is that they think in this life we must all succeed. We must all be wealthy, rich. But it's not what God planned. But spiritual riches is the plan of God. That spiritually you will be rich. You will excel. At the end of the day, you return back to him and live in a kingdom where riches abound.
So please throw more light on spiritual riches. What do you mean by spiritual riches?
If you are spiritually rich, means all you do is in agreement with the will of God. Now, once God looks at you, he's looking at a child he's proud of. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. If God can say that about you, you are spiritually rich. Because at every point in time, God is proud of you.
Okay, moving on. There are people who actually want to cross overnight. They prayed, and then they believe God. But as years starts moving on, they start feeling that maybe God did not really come with them, even though they tried to start the year with the Lord. Towards the end of the year, there is this usually joke we find people make on social media. They say that I'm just waiting for the pastor that told me that this year is my year, because the year is about to end and it's not his year. Maybe the pastor told him that this year you will have your wife, this year you will give birth to a child, and then the year is already November or December and it's not the case. So they feel like God failed them. So what exactly do you think happened? Is it that God failed them, God forgot them, or that maybe there is the fire has them in heaven and where God wrote their names and their requests, God burnt?
No.
Or maybe they did not even pray to God. What exactly happened?
They may have prayed to God, sincerely offered prayer to God. But the timetable of God is not the timetable of man. So many of the pronouncements of pastors are giving wrong interpretation. And so many of those pronouncements is in the air. The faith you anchored may bring those things to manifestation. Let me just say, if a pastor makes a pronouncement that God is going to bless people here with children, and there are 10, those that need children or to give birth, desiring the gift of a child in that congregation, 10 of them, 2 may have it this year, and those 2 are the ones God has destined will have it. The others that didn't have it does not mean that they will not have. God has a way. I tell people, yes, no, wait. These are the 3 ways of answering prayer. Then what happens the next year? The other ones gave birth to you. Did God not answer them? And this calendar we are talking about is the calendar of man. God is not limited by the January to December. That's the mistake we do. And again, let me point, make it clear. At least for once, let me set this record straight. The church do not have their new year in January. The new year of the church is the Advent Sunday. That's the beginning of the season.
Which month of the year is the Advent Sunday?
The Advent Sunday is always in December. That's when we say Advent.
Okay.
That is the new year, the new season, the new calendar of the church. That's the day we were supposed to be talking about Happy New Year for the church. This one is the Roman calendar. And our God is not limited by time. There may be a pronouncement that God is going to bless people with children. It may happen this year. To some, it may happen next year. To some, it may happen. But if you limit yourself that the man of God said it is 2022, and in 2022, by 1st January 2023, you won't serve God again. You know, what you do is that you have thrown yourself from within the grace of God. Your blessing that should have come to you, you change location. When God comes to bless, and in that location, you are no longer there. So that is why we advise people to always be located and be situated where God will locate and bless you. So it's a pronouncement of blessing. Fine and good. But the time frame is of God. So if you have said wait, and you waited for 2022, you don't want to wait again. God may have decided that this blessing will come to you in 2023. Wait upon him, for he must surely come, and he will bless.
As people say that, why some people claim blessings, prophecies, but it doesn't materialize, because they didn't do anything around about it. Some others also say, why should I do anything? After all, the spiritual controls the physical. So once God has said something, I don't need to do anything. He controls everything. So what do you think is the correct way to approach starting a new season with God and handing it over to God, and whether I have a role to play, what is my role, what should I do, what should I not do?
Okay.
Knowing that I'm dealing with an all-powerful God.
No doubt about that. Our God is an all-powerful God. He's an awesome God. All power belongs to him. Yet, God asks us to do work with our hands. If you remember somewhere in Proverbs, where God is asking us to be like ants, to learn from ants, you sluggard. God never loved any lazy person. There's no lazy man in the kingdom of God. What about the gift he deposited in you? The musicians in the music department, carpenters, medical doctors. If God is all powerful, why make people medical doctors? He should be healing everybody that's going around. Yet, he created these gifts in men, this wisdom in men, for them to become a blessing to humanity. It's a privilege, it's an opportunity. So for any child of God who prays about a thing and say God is all powerful, and so he goes in and sit down and wait for God to bring food, cook the food, get the spoon and feed him in his mouth, that person ab initio is not a child of God. He has not understood what Christianity is all about.
But some of them actually believe that they can't do anything much because that would trust in the arm of flesh.
No. Misinterpretation of scripture. That's the problem we have. The devil tempted Jesus. Fell off from the pinnacle that God will give his angels charge over. Is it not true?
It is.
Yes. Did Jesus fell off from the pinnacle? Because the God says, I will give my angels charge over you.
No.
The only tempted God. Christians only succeed in tempting God. Jesus said, rebuked the devil with the word of God. So you won't sit down in the house. It's very unfortunate. I love using a student who got admission in the university to read medicine. He goes home. After 7 years, you go to the university and collect the certificate as a medical doctor. Is it possible?
No.
Even if it's possible, will you ever go to the hospital where that young man is the medical director?
No.
Fine. So how come a Christian will think that because he has given his life to Christ, he goes home and says, God will solve all my problems. God will supply all my, let me use that word. My God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Father, supply food today. Every day you sit down, morning, afternoon, I supply clothing. No, that person has a problem. You do work. God blesses the works of our hands. In that way, he has supplied my need according to his riches in glory.
If you just joined us, you're still listening to Word Journey, where we learn how to go about our life pursuits based on the Word of God. My guest has been Venerable Ihan Ichukwu Obonna, discussing how to start the year with God. So far in this discussion, we've looked at what it means to start the year with God, our role in starting the year with God, what should be our focus, how to ensure that our early year prayers, crossover night prayers, and prophecies are not in waste, and how to actually wait on God based on his calendar. As we move on in this discussion, we want to look at what exactly are we supposed to do to cooperate with God so that if we are believing God for financial turnaround for the new year, we'll experience it. If it's academic breakthrough, we experience it. If we are starting a new journey of marriage, how do we start the journey with God? And next day, that's what we want to look at when we come back after this break.
Our faith in Christ did not just reconcile us to God. It ushered us into the Christ tribe, where the Bible viewpoint is supreme. The true tribe member is the one whose lifestyle is guided by Bible principles. On what journey? We search the scriptures to learn the mind of God that we may conform our lifestyle to it. Welcome to Word Journey.
Welcome back. You're still listening to Word Journey, where we learn to go about our life pursuits based on the Word of God. My guest today has been Venerable Ihan Ichukwu Obonna, who is an Archdeacon of the Anglican Communion, Nikkei Diocese. Venerable, before we went on the break, we're talking about expressing financial turnaround using the gifts God gave you and being diligent. I want us to get in maybe more in detail about this part of the discussion. We want to take this in one by one to see how exactly do we cooperate with God, not in every aspect of our life, but there are some key aspects we want to take a look at, and one of them is financial turnaround. How do we cooperate with God so that if we have raised our hands in church during a church service and say, yes, this is my year of financial turnaround, that we do not frustrate God's hand, that we do not limit the hands of the world, Holy One of Israel.
Let's look at these three scriptures now. Psalm 24 verse 1. It says, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, and the world and those who dwell in it. Haggai 2:8 says, the silver is mine, and gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. Psalm 50:10 says, for every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills is also mine. And the question is, how I will follow God or cooperate with him or be in line with the will of God for me to have a financial turnaround? Number one, for God to be involved, you must repent of your sins. Believe in our Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Invitation of Christ into your life is the paramount thing, making you a friend of God or a child of God. And I say, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost is the kingdom of God. Then you look at trusting and obeying God, then hard work, you know. When we talk about financial turnaround, I also say What is the volume that makes you know you have financial turnaround? That's where we have problem. Finance, money is not always the yardstick as far as God is concerned. But peradventure, a young man is in business, and in his dealing in the business environment, he honors God. He involves God in decision making. He already knew he's hardworking. Let me take a very simple instance. There is a Christian young man. He has a store at Obuete Main Market or anywhere in the world, in Alaba, Lagos, in United Kingdom. He's a Christian. But in the morning, he stays at home and pray, committing that business into the hand of God. And he stays at home. Will God go and open the store and sell for him? Because you will quote, the earth is the loss and the fullness thereof.
And nothing is too hard for God.
And nothing is too hard for him to do. So God has become your sales boy. Now, become your sales boy. He opens your shop, attend to your customers, bank your money, you are at home. You are not cooperating. In the business world, you will not be lazy. If the time of opening that business is 8 o'clock, by 7:30, you will be there. You open your shop, pray and commit the sales that day into the hand of God. God sees this thing, little things you do, and he will bless your handwork. He will bring the person that will bring customers. And you will make the right sale. But at the back of your mind, don't be a person that when a customer comes, you want to cheat the person. God will bring a customer. Your motive is to cheat the customer. That person, you will cheat one and he will never come again. You are not working with God according to his will. And God may have looked at you, know that within this period, what you have capacity to manage is 1 million, but your motive is 10 billion. What corporation, what will of God are you working with? Before you know it, you become a thief. You start stealing. If you're in an office where you can steal money, instead of being an armed robber, you automatically become a pen robber. Because we have pen robbers. They rob the nation with their beak. Worse than armed robbers. But we are talking about a Christian young man who is in business, who is aspiring for the blessing of God, praying that God will bless this business. Everything God has put in place as business rules and regulations, he should abide. If others are in the market by 9 and you start coming by 3 in the evening, what are you doing to yourself? What financial breakthrough do you want to make? You should be at the point of business. God knew about that business and he has decided he will bless you. And another thing is that don't enter into ventures without praying and asking God, is this your will for me? The same way you pray for will of God in marriage, is the same way you pray for will of God in business, the same way you pray for God in what you study in the university, the profession. But most importantly, you must trust and obey God. Hard work pays. God loves hard work. So I encourage any young Christian who wants financial breakthrough to work hard. God asks Moses, what do you have in your hands? And it's from what he has in his hands that God performed the miracle before Pharaoh. So, and in one of the parables, talents were given to men. People put their talent to use. Someone went and hid his own. When the master came, what a reward? No reward for that who hid his own. But he rebuked. So, business ethics, business practices must be followed in line with the will of God for a Christian young man who knew that it is not only in this world that the journey ends.
Before we move on these other aspects of turnaround we were expecting for the year, there's something you said I wanted to clarify. You talked about that somebody may be expecting 10 billion naira, but God has looked at him and said that he only has capacity to manage 1 million. Help me understand, what exactly do you mean by capacity to manage the money? Is it not in a bank? Is it that a bank can't create a vault or even a branch to park my 10 billion if that's how much God sends to me?
No. Let me ask you or ask my listeners, if you have a child that is in primary school, I ask you for 1 million naira, will you give to that child?
No.
If you have a graduate in your house and he asks you for 500,000 naira for a business opportunity, will you give that child?
Very likely.
Very likely, thank you. Now, the same way, God knows each and every one of us what we have capacity to control that will not make us mad or make us unbelievers. David prayed a prayer, God, let me not be poor that I will curse you, and not give me excess rich that I will forget about you. He goes down to tell you that God knows each and every one of us. What the amount of money you can control at every point in time is different from the amount of money I can control at every point in time. And God will never give you that money that will make you less the child of God he wants you to be. That's just what I mean. Not there is no bank where you put it. There are people you give 1 million naira today, they run mad. They've not seen it. There are people you give 10 million naira, they don't care. It's like one kobo to them. Different capacity, different actions. Haven't you seen people who won lotteries and police will arrest them and put them inside their cell to cool off because they will die for the mere fact of hearing they had money? So they don't have capacity to control it. That is just what I mean. It doesn't necessarily mean that you can bank cannot keep it for you. Control of what you have. And if God in heaven knows you better than you knew yourself, he knew what you have capacity to control and what you don't have capacity to control. So that's just the meaning. It's not that, let me tell you. There are Christians that you give money today, they won't go to church again.
What's the relationship? Are they coming to church because of money?
No, what I mean is that the words they are exposed to will start controlling them.
Okay.
What? There's this story, whether true or false, I don't know. A woman was asking God for a child. After a long while of prayer, God gave her a son. And the woman gave the child the name Owa Ezugorom. The word is enough and complete for me. During the process of the child growth, at the early stage, she has excuses of not coming to fellowship and prayer meeting again. I'm taking care of Ezugorom. I am doing this. Come to this. At the age 7, the child died. It's a story, true, whether a real story or but it's a teaching. The woman now went back to God, crying, trying to die, asking God, why did Ezugorom die? God answered and said, I took him away from you simply because that child has become an idol to you, not only an idol, has become a wall of barrier between me and you. You no longer pray. You no longer go to church. You no longer attend fellowships because of the child. So the child has come back to me. You should run your race. You have 30 child bearing. Again, you turn and say, why were you there when this thing happened? God says, I am still sitting on the throne where I was sitting when you people crucified my only son, Jesus Christ on the cross. The woman cleaned the face, went back to the house and started church again. Started fellowship again. If you talk to her about child, no. I want to make heaven. So the blessings of God added no sorrow. And then if God blesses you with anything and that thing becomes a barrier to your making heaven, it takes the love of God to take away that thing from you so that you make heaven.
Mm.
So people can come to the point of being rich, and businesses they are involved in will take them away from church. Not even taking them away from church, taking away their time of fellowship with God. I know church is important, but not the totality. In their private life, they don't have time again to fellowship with God, to commune with God, who blessed them with those riches. That's the problem. And if God looks at it and says, this guy, this blessing will send you to hell, God will know that you don't have capacity to manage it. And he loves you. So ask any man or a good Christian, going to heaven, being poor, and being rich, going to hell, which one will you choose? He will choose being poor and go to heaven. Remember, poverty is relative. Riches is relative. What you call a rich man might not be what I call a rich man. who you call a poor man might not be who I call a poor man. But with God, all things are possible. He is still in the business of blessing his children. He's still in the business of helping them control their wealth for the benefit of humanity. These are individual differences. The way God deals with me is quite different from the way God deals with the other person. And our makeup is different. The important I attach to wealth is not the same as the other person.
We'll have to dedicate perhaps another episode to discuss money, finances, and God's provision. But for now, I wanted to talk to a young lady who is believing God for a husband in this year 2023, assuming it's in line with God's calendar for her life. What she should do to cooperate with God to have her own husband?
You are a Christian, you are born again, you are giving your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and personal Savior. You are walking in the precepts of the Word of God. You are trusting, you are obeying God. And you have prayed concerning marriage. You have done your task. You've committed it, your request to God, who says, "Cast your cares upon me, for I careth for you." Continue to trust. Continue to obey God. Continue to fellowship with him in truth and in spirit. At the fullness of time, he will bless you with your own man. Don't do anything to attract a young boy to yourself. You don't help God. Your own is to live a pure life, a life of service. God will send that man to you at the fullness of time. If that is his will for you, because you must pray according to the will of God for your life.
Are you saying for some people, God's will for their lives is that they will not have a husband?
Very possible. Marriage is not meant for everybody. Living 100 years is not meant for everybody. That which God has determined for you will come to you. There are people God may have decided that they will live their life on planet Earth. Mother Teresa, the demon, she lived a fulfilled life. She touched the life of men and will always be remembered. That's just one example among millions that will affect life positively. Not that they didn't desire it, but the grace of God is sufficient for them to live for him as God. So if God has convinced you, this is not my will for you, only follow him. Eternal life is more important than marriage. But if it is the will of God, I've seen somebody that is 60. And got married.
So she be a child.
First question is to be married. Hannah, advanced in age, didn't she be a child? That miracle would have happened. Sarah, didn't she be a child? Age is not a limitation to God if he wants to do anything. Age is not a limitation to God if he wants to do anything. That's why he said, "I am the God of all impossibilities. Is there anything too hard for me to know?" And he said, "No. Nothing is too hard for God to do." So if God has willed you to be married at 60 and has decided that you will be a child, he will give it to you. Nothing is too hard for him to do. But the point is that totally being committed, dedicated to the work of God, live as if you are only living for God, trusting and obeying him. Leave the rest to him. He knows how to do these things. Our problem is that we want to help him. And we can never and will never help God. Ours is to follow him. He knows the way. We don't know the way. And he will never lead us astray. These are principles that must enter the head of any Christian living on planet Earth. And he says, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. The only thing is that we draw lines for God. We give him rules and regulations to obey. It becomes a problem. When those are desires, personal desire, not his will. But if you ask God, Jesus on the cross said, "Thy will be done, O God. Let your will be done." At that moment, if you allow, he will come down. and say, this way I'm not going again. It's too much. But he said, thy will be done. At every point in time, it becomes too hard. Say, God, let your will be done. You have totally surrendered.
Okay, we're going to wrap up with the last point. Okay, this point about there's a newly married couple. They want to start their journey of marriage with God. How should they start their journey of marriage with God and cooperate with God so that peace will reign in their home?
Okay, let me make this statement. People prepare for wedding and not for marriage. Wedding is a day's business. Marriage is an eternal business. First point, we go back to the miracle at Canaan. For a young man and a young woman who has agreed to spend their life together, the most important thing that must be done is extending an invitation to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
How do they do that?
They individually must give their life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They will worship Him, they will honor Him, they will adore Him. Forever they will serve Him. That decision made, while they are planning for that wedding day, which comes and goes, they are also planning for marriage, which is till death do they part. By inviting Christ that first day, they may have not been opportuned, but praying and asking God, this road journey we are about undertaking, we don't know anything about it. Let you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, guide us. And that becomes their prayer on a daily basis, that God will guide them through, see them through. Then God will be involved in their decision making. If they want to start bearing children, they involve God. You want to buy a house, you want to buy a car, in whatever you want to do in life, he said, without me, you can do nothing. I remain the branch at the vine, while you remain the branch. So they need to know that there is need for the two of them to spend time in prayers and reading the Word of God. The Bible is the manual of life, and marriage is part of life. In the manual of life, there are portions that is dedicated to marriage. Going through that manual will help them. Just like a mechanic has a manual of different cars, and he consults this manual when there is a problem. Nobody says marriage will not have problem. There are ups and downs. No car will be driven for years without developing a fault. When the fault is developed, what happens? The mechanic consults the manual, identifies the fault, and repairs it. So, if you have handed this marriage over to God, there are times of difficulty. In the story in Canaan, when the man, after a while, did what? Finished. In marriage, there are periods when we finish. But because of the invitation of the master in that business, what did he do? The master took over. While the bride and groom were seated on a high table, they never knew what was happening. Only the master of the wedding knew and was contemplating on what to do. Yet, the real master of marriage was involved. He was present. And instantly, the prayer partner, Mary, that was invited, got to Jesus and said, these people has problem. He reported. He prayed for them. In marriages, you have good friends that prays for you, not the people that gossips about you. He came, and instantly, Jesus asked the disciples to go and fill the jar, the pot. And this was done. Instantly, a miracle a new one came on board because of his involvement. Because of involvement, he changes that situation. So for every young couple, involve him at the beginning, involve him at the middle, continue to involve him.
All right, this has been a very insightful session, and we're going to talk more about some of these issues as we progress on World Journey this year. We'll take some of them, perhaps marriage, we'll take finance, we'll take advice for students. We'll dedicate an episode for each of these sessions. But for today, this will draw the curtain on this week's edition of World Journey. Thank you very much, Venerable Ihanye Chukwu Ogbonna, for being my guest on this episode.
Thank you, and God bless you.
We'd love to hear from you, especially any questions you have regarding any of the points he made, or any question you have as a Christian. And equally important is how much this broadcast has blessed you. If there is something you want us to talk about, equally get in touch with us. Tell us, ask your question. It can become an episode of World Journey. For your feedback, please email wg@ihanyeogbonna.com, or you can also call, text or WhatsApp 0803-7620-939. Note that you can download more episodes of World Journey and other teachings by Venerable Ogbonna on ihanyeogbonna.com. And to bring you another exciting episode of World Journey, I would like to leave you with this word. In this year 2023, I believe that God delights in every detail about my life, and that is why I can just be confident knowing that He's perfecting all that concerns me. My name is Ifeanyi Chukwu Dinwoke. Do have a blessed day ahead of you.